Jesus came near to them and came near and spoke to them. I received all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything that I've commanded you. Look, I myself will be with you every day until the end of this present age. This is the word of the Lord.
Good morning, Oak folk. My name's Crystal Ocampo Ruiz. For those of you that don't know me, I am the pastoral intern here for this academic year. And for those that I've already met, hola. It's truly an honor to be here this morning sharing God's word with you. Please join me in prayer. Dear God, gracias for your grace, your mercy, and your love. As we gather here today, open our hearts to receive your truth. Open our ears to hear your voice. And open our eyes to see the world as you see it. As your Spirit speaks through this message and reminds us that you are always calling us to love, to serve, and to go. We love you. En el nombre de Jesús, amen. Growing up in a traditional Southern Baptist home and church, we didn't exactly have Y'all Saints seasons, or we didn't stick to lectionaries, which I think it's good because there's a lot of structure in those things. So I've been missing out. This is my very first time teaching or preaching on a saint, and I've been learning a lot throughout the past weeks and looking at the website and listening about the different saints. And to be honest, it's a little ironic because the saint I'll be talking about today was a big Baptist name. So, of course, I'm starting my saintly journey with a Baptist in the most Baptist way possible. But as I began preparing, something unexpected happened. While I was reading and reflecting on her life, I found myself thinking about mi abuelita, my grandma. Mi abuelita loved the saints. She was very Catholic. And every morning, she would sit on her bed. And when I would wake up, that's the image I had. Her reciting her creeds and rosaries and telling me stories about the saints and the saints that she held dear to her heart. She prayed for everyone, for her family, for her neighbors, for her grandchildren, and as a big Mexican family, that was a lot. A lot of children. Even for her plants. She gave them a lot of love, and you could tell because she had a really good green thumb. I realized something about her devotion. Her love for God was constant in prayer, and that's where my faith roots began. In learning about this saintly Baptist woman, I found myself tracing my spiritual heritage back through generations. It made me see that the faith we carry today, it's never just our own, and it's not in a vacuum. It's been handed down to us from those who prayed for us, encouraged us, and showed us what it means to trust God. Those clouds of witnesses that we often hear about. So that realization made this message deeply personal. When deciding what saint to preach about, one name kept coming to mind, and it was Charlotte, better known as Lottie Diggs Moon. And I'll be honest, part of me said, Lottie Moon, perfect. I've heard of her work. She's an icon in Baptist life. And I will check off the requirement for my Baptist certificate. Yes, friends, sometimes the Holy Spirit works through practicality. We are killing two birds, not with one stone, but with one sermon. As I began to study her story, I was moved, truly moved, by her courage, her faith, and her absolute devotion to Christ. She was the incarnation of living the gospel. Because Lottie's story isn't just about a woman who went far away overseas, it's about what it looks like when someone says a wholehearted yes to God. Lottie was born in 1840 in Albemarle County, Virginia, into a wealthy Southern Baptist family. She grew up on a large plantation called Viewmont. It was 1,500 acres to be exact. Now, unlike many of girls of her time, Lottie's family believed in education, even for women. So at just 14 years old, she went to the Virginia Female Seminary. Here's the interesting part. Even though she was raised in the church, Lottie wasn't really interested in faith. In fact, some of the people closest to her would even say she was witty, mischievous, and a little rebellious. Can anyone relate? I think I still go through those stages now. But God was writing a story in her heart. During a revival led by John Brodus, who later became one of the founders of the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary, Lottie experienced what was a spiritual awakening. For the first time, she realized that faith wasn't about rules or reputation or knowledge, but it was about relationships. It was about surrender and about love. That moment changed everything. She dedicated her life to Christ and began to pursue her education with new purpose, with a brighter purpose in mind. She studied languages. She was very well spoken and very educated. To be exact, she was fluent in Latin, in Greek, in French, in Italian, in Spanish, and in Hebrew. Wow. You name it, she learned it. And as someone bilingual in English and Spanish, I think to myself, bless her heart. At 21, she became one of the first women in the South to earn a Master of Arts degree. But that same year, the Civil War broke out. During the war, Lottie stayed home to help her mother care for their family estate, because remember, it was 1,500 acres. So there was a lot to do. And her dad passed away when she was only 9 years old. He died in a boat accident. So during the war, she was helping her family. And when it ended, she began teaching. Her first job was in Kentucky at a school. Then she went to Georgia. It was there while teaching in Cartersville, Georgia, that her faith deepened and she began ministering to impoverished families. She taught, served, and loved the people right where she was. Then something surprising happened. Her younger sister, Edmonia, accepted a call to go to China. And this was different in those times because single women were not seen as missionaries without their husbands. So she was sent by the Southern Baptist Convention as what we know now. Lottie's heart stirred inside her, and she began to sense that God might be calling her to this work too. So in 1873, at the age of 32, Lottie boarded a ship for China. She left behind wealth, comfort, and familiarity to follow the voice of Christ to the unknown. For the next 40 years, she would live and serve in northern China, teaching, evangelizing, and walking among the people. And of course, as we can guess, she learned Chinese. She was fluent and began teaching in an all-boys school, but soon she realized that her deepest calling was not inside the classroom, but it was among the women, because she thought to herself, I'm a woman. I can relate. If we do have something in common is that we are female and that struggles are hard. So she started going into the villages from home to home, talking to all these women that had never heard about Jesus. And so she went carrying the message of God's love. Although it could have been, Lottie's life wasn't easy. She had comfort, as we saw. She had wealth. She was very well off here in the States. But as she was over there, she faced war, famine, cultural resistance, because obviously she was different. And she had a deep sense of loneliness. She endured hunger, isolation, and even physical danger. But she never stopped. She wrote letters back home, which is what Pastor had us seeing the background. Those are her letters. She wrote a lot of letters back home to the churches in America, passionately asking them to help, to pray, to send more missionaries, and to also help with money. She also wrote a lot to vent because she didn't have family, and she was over there 40 years without coming back to the States. So she would write to get a lot of her feelings out and what she was going through. That's how she would process her loneliness. After getting constant pushback and not getting funds because what is now known as the convention had depleted all its funding, Lottie became weary and worried. She continued sharing her own food and her own resources without her fellow missionaries knowing. So obviously, this took a toll on her physical and mental health. And the people of China realized she needed to go back home to America so she could perhaps recuperate. She was very fragile. And weighing only 50 pounds, she never made it back to America. She passed away en route at the port of Kobe in Japan. And it's recorded somewhere that the nurse that was tending her said she was singing Jesus Loves Me as she was taking her last breaths. Wow. Her words carried such conviction that after her death, those letters inspired a lot of people. And obviously, the way she lived her life and the way she passed on. All of that came and brought about the Lottie Moon Christmas Offering Foundation, which has raised over $1.5 billion for missions since 1888 and is still funding a lot of the Southern Baptist Global Mission work to today. And that's a beautiful life that we see, all because one woman said yes to selflessness. That's a big task. So her story reminds us that the Great Commission, when Jesus said, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, it's not a suggestion for a few, but a command for all of us that believe. But let's notice something in the scripture. Jesus didn't say where to go. He didn't say go to China or go to Africa, go to Latin America. He just said go. Some are called, like Lottie, across the sea. But a lot of us are just called, perhaps, across the streets. And that's where this message becomes personal to us. I might not be called to board a ship to China like Lottie, or to take a plane to Latin America. But we are called to live with a missionary heart. Before Jesus sent his disciples, he reminded them, he said, I am the authority. The authority has been given to me in heaven and earth. And that same authority, friends, is still at work in us today. So whether you teach in a classroom, you aid as a nurse in a hospital, a student on campus, a parent in a home, or just a neighbor in your community, You are serving under the authority of Christ. You have been given that power. When we love others, when we forgive, when we show kindness, we are on mission. Lottie once said, I have a firm conviction that I am immortal until my work is done. That kind of faith only comes from knowing the one who holds our lives in his hands. He will give us what we need. She had that conviction. I am immortal until my work is done. In other words, he will give me what I need to fulfill my purpose and my mission. And I believe that if she was alive today, she would say, mission starts not with a boat ride to China or a plane ticket, but with a willing heart. Maybe for us, being a missionary does mean going abroad, and that's beautiful, and that's wonderful. But it could also look like starting a conversation with a neighbor who feels unseen, showing kindness to someone who's hard to love. And yeah, I still struggle with that. Praying intentionally for your coworkers, your classmates, raising children who know Jesus and live like him, setting that example. Because I truly believe that we're missionaries at home first. Volunteering in our community, serving the overlooked, loving the lonely. Mission work, friends, doesn't begin with geography. It begins with obedience. If we belong to Jesus, our mission is the fields where we are planted, where our feet step. Lottie didn't just preach the gospel, she lived it. She taught, mentored, shared meals, and walked alongside people in their everyday lives. She was investing in disciples. She was part of the movement of healing, hope, and hospitality. Men and women who would know and follow Jesus for themselves, this is what she lived for. Every act of love, every prayer, every encouraging word. These are the seeds, friends, that the Holy Spirit can grow. And even in her hardest days, Lottie clung to this truth she once wrote. As I wander from village to village, I feel it is no idle fancy that the Master walks beside me. And I hear his voice saying gently, I am with you always, even until the end. Which is the Great Commission. She held that in her heart. Friends, and that promise is for us too as well. We're never alone. Christ walks before us, beside us, within us. He calls us. He empowers us. He sustains us. That quote, I didn't get it on my script, but that one was also one that she wrote a lot. Only believe, don't fear. Our Master Jesus always watches over us. And no matter what the persecution, Jesus will surely overcome. Lottie Moon's life reminds us that missions is not about distance, but about devotion. The Great Commission is fulfilled, yes, in grand gestures, but also in everyday faithfulness. One conversation, one act of compassion, one smile, one obedient heart. So today, as we go out, let us ask ourselves, who is my mission field? Where is my playing field? Where is God calling me to go? Who is he asking me to love today? It might be across the sea, or it might just be across the street. Let's live with that same courage and conviction that Lottie Moon had to say yes to God, even when it's uncomfortable and even when it doesn't make sense. Because when we go in His name, in His authority, in His love, we never go alone. He is always with us. Oak friends, will you pray with me? Dios Padre, Dios Hijo, y Dios Espíritu. Gracias. Thank you for the life of your servant, Lottie Moon, for her courage, her compassion, and her obedience. Teach us to live with that same missionary heart. Help us to see our neighborhoods, our workplaces and spaces, our families, as our mission fields. Give us boldness to love, to serve, to speak truth, and to live out your gospel every day. May our lives, like Lottie's, point others to Jesus, the one who goes with us always, even to the end of the age. En el nombre santo de Jesús, oramos. Amen.